This week's mailbag comes to us from Kim via email. Hi, Lisa. I just wanted to say your podcast today was right on. What we choose to fill our minds with matters. I am always looking to improve my mindset and my skills and how I live my life and run my business. And you and your teachings and products have done just that for me. I got the Sunday basket several weeks ago, and while I had a similar system using a binder, I love the box, which makes it easier to keep everything in one place. Like you, I feel the people I listen to and follow are my friends, teachers, and mentors. I feel the same way about what we bring into our lives with what we watch, think about, and see on a regular basis. So many times we hold on to things, thoughts, and experiences that we could let go of. I call it the thermal underwear effect. Like thermal underwear insulates us from cold weather, we sometimes keep wearing it when it's no longer needed, and we forget that we can peel it off and free ourselves. Free ourselves from what's next. To answer your pondering as to if you have evolved, yes, you have. I haven't yet listened to all of your podcasts, but I've listened to many, and some of them more than once. You have evolved in so many ways. One example that comes to mind is your health as a fitness instructor slash coach. I have loved hearing your evolution in the area of your fitness and applaud you for taking us on this journey. I can see so many other women following your footsteps because you have shown them a very clear, easy way to begin the fitness journey, such as the episode where you talked about your Wendy's salad and how having it helped you eat better. I can see how women listening may have all of a sudden realized that they can do that too, and may have more than likely made it right or gave them permission to do something similar for their own health and fitness. So that has been fun to see, and your energy and enthusiasm for life is refreshing. I did not intend for this to be so long, and I'll end it by saying thank you for being open, honest, and doing your most brilliant work in helping all of us women, not only with organization, but also self-confidence. Do you have an organized 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Oh my goodness, can you believe we are on episode 300? This is the 300th episode of the Organized 365 podcast. I remember 4 years ago when I started the Organized 365 podcast, knowing what I would talk about for the first 40 to 50 podcast episodes, and then I had no idea where it would go after that. They say that being an entrepreneur or starting your own business is really just a PhD in self-development and following someone on their journey. And if you've been following me very long, you know that Organized 365 has morphed and changed over time. And I really, really feel, I've been telling the team this, I really feel like as we're in the middle of our seventh year, Organized 365 is making another shift. The first 3.5 years of my business, I was a professional organizer and blogger and really figuring out what I was best at organizing. And I came up with paper and really focusing on the woman at home, organizing the home so that she could go out and do and be whatever she was uniquely created for. The last 3.5 years, I've been taking that learning of physically organizing people in Cincinnati and putting those into podcasts and products and courses and ways for you to actually get that in-home professional organizer experience without me actually going in your home and organizing your house for you. And now I feel like Organized 365, hi Hunter, is moving into the next iteration of whatever Organized 365 is going to be, with the book launch coming next summer and the big huge book tour that I'm planning, and you know, the team that we've developed at Organized 365 that really can run the business without me now. Like sometimes I wonder, all right, I'll record a podcast and then you guys will do hashtag all the things. I know that I'm moving into the next step of whatever this is going to be. And so for this 300th episode, I really wanted to talk about one thing that I think has made all the world difference in how I've been able to create Organize 365 and everything else that I do. And that's the way I look at time. Like, I am running a company, redoing my house, homeschooling my daughter, visiting my son at college, and I still feel like I have so much time. And almost everyone you talk to, they have no time. They're so busy. I don't have any time. What am I going to do? And I have determined over the last year that what Organize 365 really gives people is time. Yes, an organized home, but an organized home gives you time. An organized life gives you time. The way, if you think in an organized fashion and you have somewhere to put your to-dos and your ideas, and they'll be there when you're ready for them, what you end up getting is time. So I want to unpack for you in this podcast how I came to view time differently and where I am currently on my thoughts about time. I would say I've always been very good at schedules and organization and productivity and time in general. Time is a very abstract concept and one that I don't struggle with. I know that both of my kids struggle with time for a long time because they have ADHD, and that is one of the executive functions that sometimes is hard for people with ADHD is the passing of time, understanding the passing of time. It either feels super slow or super fast, but I'm really good at knowing how long things take and how time passes. So as a teacher, we would have classes and they'd be 30 minutes or 45 minutes long, and then you'd have breaks. And so I was really good at blocking everything into a school calendar according to subject. And when I was a stay-at-home mom and my kids were little, I would time block things as well. Like, I would time block laundry and getting the kids ready to go and their little, you know, mommy and me classes and snack time and lunch preparation. Like, all those were little blocks in my calendar because that's just the way I thought. I love Google Calendar because Google Calendar is essentially a digital calendar that just is a bunch of time blocks. And before Google Calendar, I would always buy the kind of planner as a child that would have the 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. like as a, it would look like a graph. And I would mark out, you know, when I was going to practice and when I had subjects, and I would block my time. I have always blocked my time. And so in my late 20s and early 30s, when I was home with babies and I was doing direct sales and I was no longer teaching, I found that the number one way I could help my direct sales people under me on my team be successful was to teach them how to time block. Like, I didn't understand why people didn't know how to time block because it just came so naturally to me. So if you haven't heard of time blocking before, you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's essentially making a preschool schedule for your life. So think back to preschool or kindergarten, or if you have kids in school, or when you were, you know, mapping out your college classes and you would put like, okay, I've got a class from 10 to 12 and then I've got a 1 hour break and then a class from 2 to 4. You tried to get all of your classes on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so you'd have a longer weekend. That's time blocking. Only instead of just doing it when you're signing up for college classes, you do it every single day of your life. Like, I used to be able to get ready in 20 minutes and now it takes me 45 minutes. So I know in the morning it will take me 45 minutes to get ready. So I don't actually block that on my calendar anymore, but I used to. And so that is what a time block is, knowing how long things take and how many of those blocks you can shove in a day. So sometimes when you don't do time blocking and you just have a list and you say, I'm going to make dinner and I'm going to do laundry and I'm going to go to the soccer game and then I'm going to go to the grocery store, you're going to the grocery store at 11 o'clock at night because you didn't put time blocks on your calendar. And even though you could get all of that done in 4.5 hours, you can't figure out why it took you 6 hours. And the reason why it took you 6 hours was because you had driving time and traffic in there and you didn't anticipate that in your list because you're not used to seeing blocks of time. I've always thought this way. And when I did this with my direct selling downline and I told them to have office hours and block out that time on their calendar for office hours, they would become profitable. If you are in a direct sales company and you're wondering why you're not making money, it's because you're doing the business in amongst everything else you're doing, and you're not going to spend any more time on your business, you're actually going to end up spending less time on your business. If you would just block out an hour or two a day for your business and only work on your business during that time and do all the household related and parenting stuff on the other hours, I promise you, you will start seeing a profit within a month of doing it this way because your time will be focused. And last week's podcast on focus, this is really helping you with people say focus on one thing until it's complete. I'm going to tell you how you get the time to do that. So if you're in a direct sales company, focus on 1 to 2 hours a day on your business. And then the only thing you do during that 1 to 2 hours is your business. You will become profitable because even if you waste time the first whole week of doing this and you organize your sticker book or re-go through your inventory or reread all your emails or watch a training video, like eventually you'll run out of to-do list stuff to do because you have this time dedicated and you will actually do the right thing, especially if you're using a workbox to do it. Well, when I started blogging, back in 2012, I was heavily into blogs starting probably 2007, 2008. And by 2009, I had started a different blog that I don't have anymore. And I was already going to blogging meetings. And I found this one blog by Amy Lynn Andrews, and she had a little ebook called Tell Your Time. And for a while, that ebook was down, but it's back up again. And you can find it at amylynandrews.com/tell-your-time. It's a short ebook. I think it's free or it might be $3, whatever, definitely buy it. But what I loved about Tell Your Time is the fact that Amy made the correlation between how you spend your time during the day to the Dave Ramsey system of how you spend your money. And at the time when I read this book for the first time, which I think was like 2009 or 2010, we were deep in debt, as was everyone. And we were doing the Dave Ramsey envelope system. So I totally understood that if I had $200 divided out in these envelopes and the money was gone, the money was gone. And she made the same correlation to your time. You only have so much time in the day. So if you say you're going to take those 2 hours and you're going to clean your house, then you can't take those 2 hours and work on your business at the same time. Like you have to pick. You can't say you're going to do 20 things on the to-do list. You can only do what's going to actually fit in your calendar. And it's this idea I already understood about time blocking, but also realizing that time is finite. So the amount of time that you have in a day is finite, and you have to decide and prioritize how you're going to spend that time during the day. And just the idea of seeing these time blocks as dollar bills on my calendar versus just like an unlimited amount of time really helped me change and prioritize how I was using my time during that time. A couple of years later, or around that same time, I read Laura Vanderkam's book, 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think. Now, this really blew my mind. I don't know why. Maybe because when I read it, I was so busy and I felt like I didn't have any time and I was always tired and I didn't feel like there was enough of me or enough hours in the day to get everything done. And what I love about Laura's books are that she is so mathematical and analytical. Like she has tracked her sleep for, I don't even know how long, at least 4 years. Like she sleeps 7.4 hours per night on average. Like, and she knows this because she's tracked it for years. And I like so want to be like that. Like I tracked my sleep for like 5 days and then I missed a couple. And then I was like, darn it. I'm just not as good at data. I'm not as good at details as Laura is, but Laura is so good at details. And then she also will have other people track their time and her productivity tips that she gives are from either tracking her own time or other people's time and then deeply analyzing that track time, which I find so interesting as a mathematically oriented, productive nerd. Like, I love that kind of stuff. I just don't have the patience to actually track my time. So when I read her book, 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think, Laura just looks at stuff differently than everybody else does. And so I started looking at my own time like, okay, so if you sleep 8 hours per night times 7 hours, 7 nights per week, that's 56 hours, right? 56 hours of sleep. So from 168 hours minus 56 hours of sleep, you still have 112 hours. And just that alone, because I was working from home, I didn't have a 9-to-5 job. I was like, wow, 112. Like that's like three full-time jobs. Like that's a lot of time. And I was not working maybe 40 hours a week in my business. There was a period of time in Organized 365 where I was maybe working 50 or 60 hours a week in my business. I thought it was more, but I'll tell you Laura's next book that made me change my mind on that. And ever since reading that book, I read it when it came out. I should find out when it came out. I just started looking at time differently. Like there's so much time. Like I know we're always out of time, but there really is we do really have a lot of time. Like it was how I kind of started to realize that people legit could have two full-time jobs and sleep, or people really could work 60 hours a week and sleep and do other things. Like it started helping me realize the lives of some of the people I was organizing, what they were actually like. Like I was professionally organizing their house and they were doctors and they were on vacation and they had this practice and their kids were in school and they were driving them and all these things. I was like, wow. So we do have the same amount of time, and I know they have more money than I do, but still we have the same amount of time and they are doing so much with their time. Like they're doing so many things and I am doing some things, but I'm exhausted all the time. And I feel like, ooh, I put 6 hours in on my business. Like I am a rock star, you know, like it really just started making me think a little bit differently about it. And then Laura's next book came out and it's called I Know How She Does It. And she specifically had time studies of women who made six figures or more. So, you know, a six-figure salary. And they did a time study and she analyzed it. Now, it's been a while since I read the book, but boy, it was a juicy read for me because I was not earning six figures. And I was like, how do they do that? And how do they do the house? And how do they do everything? And a couple of things I remember as a takeaway from that book is that these women were the women I was professionally organizing for, and they were getting so much done. And number one, they were definitely leveraging their money to hire other people to help them have even more time so that they could do what was most important to them. Now, I know not everybody has that opportunity, and I didn't when I read that book either, but it did set me on the trajectory for where I am today. So number one, I realized that money can definitely buy you time if you can manage other people. But the second thing I really noticed in that book, I Know How She Does It by Laura Vanderkam, is that the majority of women thought they were working like 50, 60 hours a week, and the average was somewhere more like 42 hours a week. I can't remember. I'm not good with details. Go read the book. If Laura's listening to this, she's like, no, all those stats are right. Right. Yes, I'm not your detail girl. Big picture. They weren't working that many more hours than 40 hours a week. They were still having time for themselves. And I will be telling you in a couple podcasts from now what my self-care looks like. Spoiler alert, it doesn't cost more than like $5 for any of my self-care. So you'll be able to do everything that I'm doing. But they had time for themselves, time for their spouse, time for their children if they had one, time for their work. They had more time. And it wasn't just because they hired everything out. Like they just used time better. And I also noticed they used all of the hours. Like I was so used to, maybe it was the school mindset or because my husband has a traditional, you know, 8-to-5 job and he leaves at 7:30 and he was home at 5:30 at that time. Now it's 7:30 to 4:30. So he leaves at 7:15 and he's home at 5:00. I was used to sending my kids to school. My husband would go off to work. And so the time I had available to me was when people were at school and work. And if school was canceled, I lost that time. If Greg was home from work, I felt like I couldn't work. I did work, but I felt guilty about it. And so I was looking at my time as sleeping time, working and school time, and then extra time. And when I really looked at it, I was like, okay, well, if sleeping time is 56 hours a week and working time is, let's say it's 55 or 56 hours a week, that's 112 hours. But if there are 168 hours in the day, 168 minus 112 is 56 hours. Like as much time as I'm sleeping or as much time as the kids are at school and Greg's at work, I have equally that much time left. And when I realized that, I was like, whoa, that is a lot of time. Like, that is a lot of time not sleeping and or not working or at school. Now, yes, I mean, some of that time is going to be getting ready time, cleaning the kitchen, making dishes, grocery shopping, all of that, but not 56 hours a week, right? Like, I mean, there's just a lot of time. So I started thinking about this time and how much we have and where it is and how we think about it based on where it is in our time blocks. And I went into this productivity rabbit trail. Now, I'm already a productive person. I've always been a productive person, but I went into productivity on steroids like it was my job to be the most productive person in the entire world. And I will say, do you remember when the 4-minute mile was broken and somebody ran a minute in less than 4 miles, and then all these people followed him and also broke the 4-minute mile? It was like that. I was breaking the 4-minute mile for productivity. I could get more done, and my friends would be like, well, tell me what you did today. And I would start telling them. And by the time I was done, they were like, no, I didn't ask about this week. I asked about today. And I realized there were a couple years there where I legitimately would get done in a day more than anyone I knew could get done in 3 days. Like, I just was able to taskmaster, power through. Like, I was a productivity machine. But do you know what I realized after I'd done that about 18 hours, or 18 months? First of all, I was exhausted. But I also realized that I wasn't really getting things done. Like, productivity in general allows you to get more done in less time, but it doesn't necessarily help you get things completely done. So what I was doing was I was making laundry really productive, and dishes really productive, and checking my email really productive, and writing a blog post really productive. So I was getting more and more and more done in less time, but it wasn't like I wasn't going to have to do laundry the next day and write a blog post the next day and go through email the next day. So I was just starting to do everything super, super fast, but never getting to an end goal. I didn't have like a project that was just checking things off, and I was really starting to get burned out. That's when I realized the other piece of the book, I Know How She Does It. And there was a couple of other books I read at that time. Let me go see the title of this other one. It was by Barbara, Secrets of Six Figure Women by Barbara Stanny. I read that one at the same time, and Overcoming Under-Earning, which are both by Barbara Stanny. And she, I'm not going to give any details, I'll be wrong, but I loved those books as well. So I was looking at, like, what do six-figure women who make more than $100,000, what are they doing that I'm not doing? Like, I am working my hiney off over here. My hiney has never been little, but I was sitting in a chair for a long time working it off. And I was more productive than anybody I knew possible. And I was using all of my hours and I was using all my resources, but I wasn't getting things checked off the list. The house was, by that point, the house was organized. But the fact that the house was organized just gave me even more hours to work on my business. You see what I'm saying? So I wasn't getting like time I didn't know what to do with, like I have now. And I realized that in all of those books and in the ability to earn more and do more, I had to go to the next level of using my time. And I had to create a capacity to manage multiple projects at one time. So what I mean by that is I had to become a manager. Like, I already knew how to manage my household and my kids and my husband and my job and all of those things. And I was a great manager of that. But in order to make more impact and check things off my to-do list permanently and move forward, I had to increase in me not the ability to be more productive and do more faster, but the ability to manage multiple projects going on at the same time without my being the doer of the projects. So I started at home, and I had had people that had cleaned my house before, and I had had times where I cleaned other people's houses before. So I knew getting a house cleaner is really not much to manage. I just have to make sure my dog is at daycare for that day. But other than that, there's not much to manage. So I did that, which gave me some time because I didn't have to clean my house. Then the other thing that I did at that same time was I hired somebody to start driving the kids around. This was years and years ago. You guys can go back and hear the podcast episodes. We will link some of the relevant podcast episodes that are related to what I'm saying in the show notes and in the blog post when you go find those. So I hired somebody to do the laundry at home and drive the kids, and it saved me like 15 hours a week in the summer. And this was when my kids were both in high school, but not driving yet. And then once school started, then I outsourced laundry and I had the laundromat do the laundry because I realized that that was saving more time. So I kept getting more time, but I fell into the habit of using that time in productivity to get more done. So at home, my house being organized gave me more time and I was able to hire people to do the day-to-day maintenance of the house. But what I really needed in order to do, be, and make the impact on the world that I wanted to was help in my business. And it is much harder to grow a team in your business than it is to grow a team in your house. So if you want practice, then hire people to help you in your house and then you work on hiring people in your team. So 4 years ago, I hired Pat as my executive assistant, and for a while, it was just Pat and I, and anything that I could hand off to Pat, I did, and she would do it. And then it was 2 years ago when I decided to hire 7 people in 7 weeks at the end of 2017, and then we trained all of those people in the beginning of 2018, and that's when we came up with all the products that you see today, all of the courses, almost everything was created in the end of 2017 and early in 2018, other than the 100-day program, which was already going. That growth in the last 18 months for me has been the ability to manage my own productivity level inside of my business and then also empowering and delegating tasks inside of Organize 365 to my team members so that they have enough to do and they're excited to do it, but not so much that they're overwhelmed. And that is a huge skill set. And that is one that really has allowed me to grow Organize 365 in the last couple of years to where it is today. If I had not hired that team at the end of 2017, beginning of 2018, I would not have a book deal and be going on a book tour 1 year from now. And I wouldn't have the capacity to plan this massive book tour that I'm doing a year from now. So after I'd gotten enough time and used the time properly and became a productivity ninja, then it was increasing my capacity for managing multiple projects and multiple people under my own vision and moving that forward. All right, two more things that I want to talk to you about as far as time. Along the way, right before and while I was adding the team and training the team to help me with the vision for Organize 365, I realized that it doesn't matter how much time you have. If you don't have the stamina and energy to use that time, it's pointless. So a lot of us, like I know for my husband, when he comes home at 5 o'clock at night, it does not matter that there is another, 5 to 6 hours before we go to bed. He needs that entire 5 to 6 hours to decompress from his day, rejuvenate. He needs all of that as leisure time. I'm like, 6 hours, I could get a part-time job. Like, I could go, there's so many things I could do in 6 hours, and I do. We sit and we talk, and then he goes and he decompresses, and I like listen to 3 podcasts, download an audiobook, take the dog for a walk, do a puzzle. Like, I do so many things in that 6 hours because I am not depleted at the end of the day like he is. But let's say 5 years ago, when I was learning all of this, my capacity would run out every single day at 1 o'clock. I would get up, I'd get the kids to school, I would sit down at my desk, usually by about 8:30 was when I'd finally get to my desk. I could get 1 or 2 projects done. I would stop, I would have lunch at like 12, and then at 1 o'clock every single day, I needed a nap. I was exhausted, I needed a nap. And after about 6 or 9 months of this, and I just thought it was normal, like I was exhausted, I took naps, that's how it was. I realized that it was what I was eating for lunch. Like I was eating like a frozen pizza or something. I was like, interesting, because I always have these Zone Perfect peanut butter chocolate bars in the morning and I don't get tired from that. And I drink a coffee in the morning. And I'm fine. I have plenty of energy. So I did an experiment and the next day I just had one of those Zone bars for lunch to see if I was tired and I was not tired. I was like, it's what I'm eating that is changing my stamina and energy. And so the last couple of years, I have really been refining and researching how food impacts my energy level. Because even if you have extra time, if you're too tired to use it, it doesn't matter. If your brain is done, it doesn't matter. So I have now learned that like I can have strawberries and whipped cream, I can have cucumbers and eggs, I can have salad, I can have salmon, there are all these things I can have that do not make me tired. But if I have a Coca-Cola, exhausted. And I've also learned I cannot drink any alcohol whatsoever except for vodka. Like a fruity vodka drink is fine, but only one. Otherwise, I definitely get a migraine the next day. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. So I have further refined what I'm able to eat. By the way, onion rings are just fine, in case you're wondering. Onion rings don't affect me in any way. They're not great for me, but it is my guilty pleasure. And also, you know, Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, her office is like 1 mile from her house, but it takes her 40 minutes to get there because she purposely drives around and the long way to the office because that's where she does her best thinking. And I am the same way. Like, I love to go get the onion rings because it's 20 minutes away. So I'm like in the car for 40 minutes, listening to my radio, you know, whatever. And it gives me some downtime away from my business. I need to come up with another way to do that because I think eventually I'm going to be done with onion rings, but I'm not right now. So the stamina and energy, or some people call it motivation, which causes you to move and take action, motivation, comes from the quality of our sleep, the food that we're eating, and then also the order of our tasks is super, super important. Like back when I was a productivity nut, which I still am, I realized that the order in which I did the tasks is what saved me so much time. That's why I tell you when I get up on a Saturday, number one, get your machines working for you. Start the dishwasher, start the washing machine, start, you know, anything where you have to wait for it to get done. Number two, get your people started for you. Give your kids the to-do list. Give, you know, make a list of who needs to do what today so you know that all the people are now working on your behalf. And then number three, do what you need to do. So the order of tasks in which you do things. I think it was a couple podcasts ago where I talked to you about organizing the entire house and how Greg wanted to do the family room first. I said, oh, no, we do the family room last because the order in which you pick up your house matters. You want to pick up the areas that your family is in last. And I have, that's why the 100-day program works so well, is because the order of those 100 days is most of the gold. The actual order in which I take you through your house capitalizes on your stamina, energy, and motivation as far as I can each cycle, and you will peter out and stop. That's totally fine. But when you start up again, you will have more success and motivation and stamina going through those same areas again, which are the most heavily used areas of your house, and it will push you further and further into the program every single time so that eventually you do get through the entire program. But the last thing that I noticed about this capacity for project stamina and energy is that we try to do way too many things a day. And that when I finally got down to the most recent thing I've done is that I only do one or two things every day. I really do. Like today was the first day of homeschooling for Abby and I'm recording podcasts. I have nothing else on my agenda. Now I'm recording three podcasts and I taught homeschool for 3 hours. So it's not like I'm not doing a large quantity. It's not like I'm just changing laundry. That's not the task that I'm doing. But as my stamina, energy, capacity for projects, productivity skills have increased, I can do projects longer and longer and longer. And when you can block out 4 days for book edits, get book edits from your editor and turn them back to them in 5 days, that is a black belt level productivity skill. And that is worthy of 5 days on your calendar is to get your book edits done. Do you see what I'm saying? Versus trying to do book edits for 2 to 3 hours a day, every day, and also this, and also that. The ability to pick one thing for all of your extra time and effort to go towards will actually knock it off your list. And that's what I realized I needed to do with my time. Time isn't just about how you organize it on your calendar, how much you have, but it's the energy level you have and the capacity you have to do more with the time that you have. That's when you ultimately are able to move the needle and able to make really big changes in your home, in your community, in society at large. And I think the number one thing, and I've been saying this, the number one thing holding women back is not men, it's not society, it's not any of that. It's the fact that we don't have our time allotted for us in the way that we really want to use it to make the impact that we want to make. So I hope that my going over this kind of lifetime of how I have viewed time and over time how I've changed how I view time will maybe have given you a couple of ahas. Maybe you didn't realize how many hours we have in our week. Like, I didn't realize that either. Maybe you've never thought about time as little dollar bills or things that are finite and we don't really have an unending supply of them. Maybe you never thought about having outsourcing something or organizing the way you do your tasks so that you have more time. I would love to have this conversation with you online, both on Instagram and in Facebook. I think this is a great thing we should all be talking about together, about how do we get more time? What do we do with the time that we have? Just hear about what your thoughts are on time. I asked on Instagram about the Organize 365 brand and where we're going and what thoughts people had. And multiple people DM'd me and said, the thing that you give people that people don't realize is time. They have no idea how much time they're going to have once they do a Sunday basket, once they get their home organized with a 100-day program. And we all know that we'll get some time, like, oh, our life feels a little bit freer, a little bit easier when you have a Sunday basket and you start to get organized. But when you really start looking at your time differently, and why I love the planner that I've set up, I teach you how to set goals in just 120 days and knock them completely off of your list so that the next 120 days you hit a new goal and then a new goal and then a new goal. And at first, I was very frustrated because when I did goal setting this way, that I was going to go after one big goal and put all of my extra time and effort towards this one big goal, because I wanted to achieve 10 goals. Like, I wanted to lose weight and have perfectly well-behaved children and an organized house and a flourishing business and a vibrant marriage and a blah, 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 blah. But what I found was I had to focus on one with all of my time and energy that I had left after, you know, that 56 hours I'm telling you every week that I had to focus all of my time and effort on that. And then once that was checked off, then I not only got the 56 hours, but I got even more hours based on whatever that goal was that I checked off. So when I finally got my home organized, I don't spend any time picking up my home more than maybe 30 minutes a week. Also, my kids are 18 and 19. Just remember that if your kids are younger. But all the time that I used to spend driving the kids and maintaining the house, I have all of that time now too, in addition to everything else that I used to spend my time on. All right, you guys, have a great week.